The Advocate, Saturdays at noon on Ave Maria Radio.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
And now, Heart, Mind, and Strength. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength with Catholic psychotherapist and author Dr. Gregory Popcheck and his wife and co-author Lisa Popcheck. Every weekday at this time, Greg, Lisa, and friends help you find faith-filled answers to questions about marriage, parenting, and the people who drive you nuts. So join us for the next hour as we explore how to love and serve the Lord with our whole heart, mind, and strength.
Love you, Lord, with my heart, mind, and strength.
Everybody, you are listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I am your host, Catholic psychotherapist, author, Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Greg's co-host, Catholic Family Life Coach, Lisa Popcheck.
And we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. And a happy Monday to one and all.
He says that so jovially.
No. It's a good Monday. It's all right. Sun shining, lots of people on vacation. I mean, huge vacation week for folks.
It is.
Everybody I talk to isn't there.
It's true. A lot of getting people's voicemail and that kind of thing these days. Yeah, it seems remarkable. It seems like the entire planet decided to go on vacation at one time. Hopefully, enough people are coming to America as tourists or to the landlocked areas, as are those going to the coasts and out of the country, so it all the birth stays balanced, because so many people have fled to go on vacation. I'm afraid it's going to tilt.
Because that could happen.
Because it's a Monday, and that's how I'm feeling right now. You usually take
a little out of balance, darling?
A little out of balance, yes. A little crazed. But really, talking about vacations, I'm a little out of balance only because we have a very weird, wonderful but weird week this week, where we're only going to be with our Heart, Mind, Strength listeners today and tomorrow. And then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we are in Philadelphia for the Theology of the Body Congress, which is going to be awesome, but it's a lot to take on a Monday, like making sure all the laundry's done, getting it all packed, getting it all done, and knowing our week is like 2 days, and then a lot of traveling and getting the kids situated and getting a conference done. It's going to be awesome, but it's a little, dizzy making.
Well, it's also, and we don't normally do weekday conferences because they just are, frankly, so disruptive to our lives.
Well, and most conferences are on the weekend so people can go to them. This one's in the middle of the week.
Yeah, this one runs from Wednesday through Friday, and it's going to be awesome, actually. It's sold out, so we're very excited about that. But we'll be attending the Theology of the Body Congress and speaking, and also doing some other things there from the floor in Bluebell, Pennsylvania, at the Normandy Farm Hotel and Conference Center. And Lisa and I are actually going to be doing two talks, and I'll be participating in a third panel. The first talk is going to be on our book, Holy Sex, A Catholic Guide to Mind-Blowing, Toe-Curling, Infallible Loving, where we really talk about what it means for marriage to practically live out the theology of the body. I mean, I know a lot of people will go off to seminars or weekend talks or other trainings where they learn about the theology of the body and really become enamored of it. And because, of course, it's compelling stuff. I mean, it really is exciting stuff. But, it's hard to sometimes translate that from the world of ideas.
Sure. I mean, it's such a beautiful, wonderful gift that the church is giving us, but then you come home, you're fired up with this new knowledge and this idea, and you think, well, how do I get my spouse into it? Or if we both went to the conference or the talk that we went to, how do we live that out in the day-to-day? How do we heal the things that are kind of broken from being fed by the world for a while? How do we negotiate new things in our lives in terms of love and service and intimacy? If you're single and you've gotten turned onto the theology of the body, well, what does that mean to your life? How do you handle living a chaste single life in this world where perhaps your friends aren't so supportive of that? You're not quite sure how to get a social life going that supports all of that. The whole thing, the whole dynamic, your worldview sort of shifts. and knowing how to then be able to literally walk differently. You know, if you've ever gone, there's a theme park near us that has one of these houses where you go in and everything's tilted, and at first you think it's kind of funny, and you're trying to kind of acclimate your body. Your job is to try to stand up straight in this tilted house where everything's on an angle. The whole thing just kind of shifted. And you walk around, and at first it's really funny and it's really enjoyable, but after a while, everybody I've ever gone into this house with says the same thing. I'm getting really nauseated. This is making me queasy. I can't stay in here too long. Learning the theology of the body is sort of like that. It shifts everything in your life. Now, for the first time, it's actually all in right order, in God's order. But shifting your life in that way, shifting that worldview and that perspective can be wonderful, but it can also be kind of queasy-making as you're trying to figure out, how do I do it? What do I do? How do I get my equilibrium back and really live this to the full? And that's what holy sex really helps you figure out how to do, no matter what stage of life you're in.
So we'll be very happy to be talking about that book at the Theology of the Body Congress and helping folks really live out the practical aspects of the theology of the body in the most intimate part of their marital relationship. Then we're going to be doing a second panel actually on the theology of the body and parenting, which is frankly something that we've pioneered in many ways, because while most people focus on the theology of the body applications to marriage, and we certainly are very familiar with that, there really aren't very many folks who have considered it and its significance for the parent-child relationship. And of course, it has everything to do with that, because the theology of the body is all about what God's plan for the body, or what God's design of the body says about our interactions. And so we're going to be talking a bit about that at the Congress as well. Looking forward to that discussion, plus also pastoral aspects of the theology of the body. You know, what does it say to people about counseling and pastoral ministry and those sorts of things? I'll be participating in a panel on that. So that'll be happening for us from Wednesday through Friday. So we are here today and tomorrow, and then we'll be in Philadelphia for that Congress. We'll catch you up on all the details of that when we come back.
We will. But get
Monday.
Your calls in now so that we can talk to you and get the energy we need to go and do all this great work and help you get the energy you need to get through the rest of the week when we're not around to answer those questions. So if you're anticipating your kids having a meltdown, if you think there might be a fight with your spouse on the horizon, if you think you might get a little anxious or world-weary by the end of the week, now's the time to call.
877-573-7825 is the toll-free number you can call to join the conversation right here, right now, on Heart, Mind, and Strength with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Our email address
is radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
We're going to be, in between taking your calls, of course, we're going to be talking a bit about, well, conversation with your spouse. Are you happy with the way that discussion's going? A new study suggests that the longer you're married, the less satisfied you might be with communication in your relationship. We'll be talking about why and what you can do to change that up. But we are talking with you about whatever it is that is weighing heavily on your heart, troubling your mind, or causing your strength to fail you. If you're having a tough time today in your marriage, parenting life, your personal circumstances, if you're wrestling with those emotions that are just causing you to feel so hopeless, helpless, powerless, picked on, put upon, and otherwise just kind of unpleasant, right? We are here for you. 877-573-7825 is the toll-free number to call. Let's get things started.
We really need to with
some prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,
and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for the opportunity you're giving us to spend this time with you and all the good people who are tuning in right now. We ask your blessing on this hour, that it would be a time of blessing for all of those who are listening, especially those who are having a hard time today in their marriage or in their parenting life or in their personal circumstances. Because, Lord, each and every one of us longs to serve you, but we all struggle to know what that means in our circumstances. We all struggle because our hearts are heavy and broken and burdened with so many concerns and so many troubles. Our minds are clouded and spinning out of control with so much noise and so many things vying for our attention. And our strength often fails us when we need it the most. In those times, Lord, Fill our hearts with the fire of your love and weld those broken hearts back together with that same fire. Fill our minds with the peace that this world cannot give, the peace beyond all understanding that enables us to quiet down all the other noise, all the other sounds, and attend only to your voice leading and calling us in the darkness. Strengthen us, Lord, with your grace for the journey that's ahead so that we might be able to follow your will wherever it leads. And bless us this day and every day this week as we strive to serve you and you alone. And we ask all of this in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Mary, seat of wisdom.
Please, Mother, pray for us.
Well, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Our email address
is radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
But right now it's time for Living in the Word, where we take a look at a verse from Scripture that reminds us of God's faithfulness and our response. This week's Living in the Word comes to us from Sirach, chapter 36, verses 18 and 19. Give peace, O Lord, to those who wait for you. Listen to the prayers of your servants and guide us in the way of your justice. You know, this is a beautiful verse that reminds us that God is present to us in all of our circumstances, that he will give peace to those who call on him and wait for him, that he does hear the prayers of all of his servants, and he does guide us in the way of justice when we call out to him. The Lord wants us to be faithful servants, and he gives us everything we need, every good grace that's necessary for us to accomplish our task. So commit this verse to memory and know with confidence that God is present in your life, and receive the comfort that comes from knowing his word. Again, this is Sirach chapter 36, verses 18 and 19. Give peace, Lord, to those who wait for you. Listen to the prayers of your servants and guide us in the way of justice. Amen. Well, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. If you've got some tough questions about your marriage, about your kids driving you crazy, if you personally can't stand who you are these days, you know, we all get to those places every once in a while where the stress just wears us down and we don't like who we're becoming and we're not quite sure how to get back on track. Well, we're here to help you figure it all out and start living that life that God created you to live with joy, with grace, with hope, with peace, and with his love in your heart. 877-573-7825. And one of those things that stops us from being able to have that love in our hearts, or for that matter, to feel supported in our everyday life, is when communication in our marriages tanks. And a recent British study found that the longer couples are married, the less they have to say to each other over the course of an hour-long meal.
And isn't that scary? I know I've been to restaurants. I think it's kind of a universal thing where I'll go, let's say, to Sunday lunch after church. And it seems to happen way too frequently. And not going to lunch, but what I see at lunch. And I'll go to a restaurant.
Although,
I can go to lunch anytime I want.
Although the going to lunch part, we might be doing a little bit too much of that, too. I don't know. at least I might be.
I hear that. But we'll be sitting in a restaurant, and things are, you know, lovely. We're all having a good time as a family. But I'll look across the room, and I'll see an older couple there. And I'll watch them. They'll catch my eye as I see that there's no emotion on their faces at all. They don't look miserable. They don't look happy. They just look like sort of part of the furniture. And there's hardly a word that passes between them the entire meal. They just sit there in this kind of glum silence. And, you know, everybody has seen that commercial. If you have TV, I know some folks don't, but most people do, and most people have seen the commercial where there's that, you know, younger couple who's just gotten engaged. They're walking down the tree-lined sidewalk, and in front of them is an older couple, majorly in love, holding hands with each other. The young couple goes around them, joins hands again, looks back over their shoulders, and they're thinking, we just got engaged, and that's who we want to be in 50 years. The people you sit at the restaurant with who don't talk at all to each other are not the people we want to be like in 50 years. I know I always feel very disconcerted, and sometimes I'll say to Greg, let's make sure that never happens to us, because that's kind of scary.
Well, how bad does it get? I mean, according to this new study, this new British study, take a look at these numbers. Couples who are dating tend to chat for about 50 minutes out of a dinner hour. So again, the researchers were specifically looking at dinner time, all right, and examining how much time did the couples talk with each other over the course of a one-hour meal. And so couples who were dating chatted for about 50 minutes on average out of the hour. Immediately after marriage, though, the downward trend kicks in, right? The time spent talking drops to about 40 minutes per hour for newly married couples. 20 years into marriage, the average couple talks for only 21 minutes of the dinner hour. And 30 years in, conversation takes up about 16 minutes. Can you imagine? After about 50 years of marital bliss, according to this study, the average couple talks for about 3 minutes in an hour.
And you know the scary part, the really scary part, like these figures aren't scary enough, but the really scary part to me is that this was done on people who were not necessarily plugged in to their, you know, their handheld device, you know what I mean?
It's
They're not texting. They're not surfing the net. They're like we went to dinner in New York one day. It was us and our kids at a restaurant in New York, and the tables were pretty close together. And we sat next to this couple, a young couple. When you say they're like
mid to late 20s, they looked like they were on a date to me. It didn't look like they were married.
They looked like they were on a date with each other, and the two of them sat there and texted other people the entire time we were all eating dinner. And I couldn't think, they didn't look mad at each other. They just didn't look like they knew how to talk. So if this study is about couples who aren't doing that, who are actually, they've made it through engagement, marriage, they've been married this long, it's not that they're sitting there texting or surfing or any of that. They're really losing this kind of ability to talk to each other. What's it going to be like for the next generation and the generation after that that doesn't get that you put down your handheld device to actually have a conversation with the people in front of you? I think the next couple of generations may be doomed.
Well, I mean, yeah, I know. I mean, and I get that, I mean, even without that, you know, conversation can drop off as you get to know somebody and feel more comfortable with them. I understand that. But heavens, after 50 years of marriage, all you can manage is 3 minutes of conversation. It seems to me like, that's like 150 words or less in an entire meal. It's like, are you still breathing takes up most of the conversation time. I mean, come on.
Alive?
Yeah. You there?
That's not about being old. That's about just neglecting each other, I think. It doesn't have anything, I truly believe, it doesn't have anything to do with your age, because there are many, many people who are in that age group who are out there dating and having perfectly nice conversations with people. You know? It has nothing to do with, oh, well, we just get quiet as we get older. No, I don't think it's a phenomenon.
I mean, I look, like I said, as you're more familiar with somebody, I mean, I think that there is a certain sense that there's less pressure to have certain conversations where you know each other, so there's a certain comfort that comes with relationships as they mature. That's all fine. That's not a problem. But where it does become problematic, I think, is that couples will often carve out their own sort of separate spheres where they operate most of the time, right? And those spheres don't interact with each other. I talk to a lot of people who really don't share much of anything. You know, the husband has his work and interests, the wife has her work and roles and interests, and they don't, as long as things are getting done, they tend not to talk too much to each other about how those things are getting done or what's going on in it. And what ends up happening is that they don't share a lot of experiences, so they don't have a lot to share with each other. And because of that, the intimacy really tanks in the relationship. You know, it's one thing to be comfortable. It's another thing to not know enough about your spouse to ask an intelligent question about what's going on in their life. And I think too many couples are in that place where the household has become a collection of individuals, and this is certainly true of marriage, where the husband and wife are more two individuals living under the same roof, and they like each other well enough, but they just stop knowing each other because they've stopped investing the energy and the time into the relationship.
What it really boils down to most of the time is just negligence. And we are all prone to it. Absolutely every single one of us. There's not a person on the planet that doesn't get tired, that doesn't get overwhelmed, that doesn't just want kind of that comfy shoe of a marriage where you don't have to work too hard. And we can have all the aspirations in the world for a romantic marriage, a communicative marriage, a great partnership with our spouse, but unless we're willing to kind of get out of that if I might call it that sin of sloth, where you're just like, oh, well, I'll talk to him tomorrow. Oh, I'll do something romantic next week. Oh, I'll ask them about, you know, how their day was next Wednesday. I'll put it on the schedule. It's so easy to do because it does take energy to really work on being that couple who still has a life to share together.
Well, enough of our complaining. What do you do about this? I mean, I know I talk to a lot of couples in counseling through the Pastoral Solutions Institute, and they'll say, well, Greg, we don't have a lot of time to do new things together or to share experiences. Where are we going to fit that in? And my suggestion is don't try to make time for anything new. How about doing the stuff you already do, but maybe doing it together? You know, getting a meal to the table together, grocery shopping together, doing the kids' bath time together. Sharing those experiences gives you things to talk about and inside jokes to share and opportunities to talk that you wouldn't otherwise have if you continue to divide and conquer. That doesn't mean you have to be in each other's hip pockets all the time, but manufacturing those opportunities to be in the same space with each other, doing the same thing, is a really important way to say to each other, hey, I care about you and I care enough about the life that we've created together to work on it with you and share these experiences. Start by creating little rituals together, like cleaning up the family room after dinner or getting the dishes off the table together or, you know, taking the walk together every day or taking some time for prayer every day where you share experiences so that you have more to talk about with each other and you know each other's hearts and can support each other more effectively. So you don't end up like that couple who's been married 50 years and only talks for 3 minutes during the dinner hour. 877-573-7825. Are you in a position where you feel like talking for 3 minutes to your spouse would be too much? We are here to help you get back on track. If you are struggling in any part of your life or relationships, we want to help you experience the joy that comes with really knowing what God has planned for you and the people that you care about. Pick up the phone, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Our email address
is radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
Stick around for more Heart, Mind, and Strength, and you coming up right after this.
Vanessa Dunn-Hagarmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. There's controversy surrounding the deportation of Iraqis who have now become U.S. citizens and who have served prison time. Many community members are outraged by this decision by the U.S. government, calling it double jeopardy. The story is our cover piece in the July issue. Also this month, we talked one-on-one with several gubernatorial candidates. A local professor did a research study on the Chaldean community and how their culture has influenced their success. We elaborate on that study in our Culturally Wired for Business story. Get your copy of the Chaldean News and learn about this ancient community living in modern times. You can subscribe or advertise today. Join Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan and Happy's Pizza. Log on to www.chaldeannews.com and learn more.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
It's Catholicism 101 on Christ is the Answer this week. As many in our listening audience are or are preparing to head back to school, we're revisiting a series of Catholicism 101 classes Father Ricardo taught over the summer of 2005. The subject this week is the Eucharist. Listen Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet. Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Mind and Strength. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825.
Right now, we're going to Anna in Massachusetts.
Hey there, Anna. Welcome to Heart, Mind, and Strength. How can we help you out today?
Hi. Well, I have a question about homeschooling and making friends. I have three kids, and my oldest is six, almost seven. And so we've, you know, I've homeschooled her since the beginning. We never did preschool or anything. And I've noticed over the last year or so, now that her local friends are in school full time, we're having a hard time, you know, finding time for play dates and that sort of thing. And then we're involved in a group, a Catholic group, but it's about an hour away from us. So we see kids, you know, maybe once a month we go to Little Flowers, or we go to a co-op once a week for 6 weeks. And, you know, but even trying to have play dates with those people is really, really hard because they're far away from us, but they have friends close by. And then the local friends have other kids in school that they play with. And, you know, I'm just getting really discouraged. I don't know if that's a good enough reason to quit, though. You know, there's a part of me that just wants to quit. We have a Catholic school nearby. Maybe I can get my kids into that. And then there's another
part. Well, Anna, let me ask you, what are you really concerned about with this change? I mean, are you, because I think all of this can be worked around as far as, you know, getting the kids involved in activities or whatever in your local area. That's not a hard thing to solve. But I feel like there's more going on here that's making you doubt your choice for homeschooling.
Okay. Mainly, it just, you know, I see other kids, you know, they all seem to have a best friend. You know, and my daughter has kids that she plays with on occasion. You know, she goes to dance lessons and swimming lessons and local things like that. So she might see other kids at those activities. But she doesn't really have a best friend that, you know, that we can see on a regular basis. And now my son, he's four, and so now he's starting to want to find friends his age. And so my main concern is that we're going to be really lonely and isolated if we keep this up. I mean, that's it in a nutshell, I think.
You want to do it, or should
I? No, go ahead. You take this one.
Okay. I understand your fear.
Okay.
I've been there. I've done that.
Okay.
And I can promise you it works out. Here's the thing. I want you to be really, really happy having your kids at home and enjoying your day and doing school in a way that gives you all joy and togetherness and creates a community of love in your home, so that you, for right now, are really your 6-year-old and your 4-year-old's very best friend in the whole wide world.
Mm-hmm.
Social opportunities at this age are nice. They're kind of passing. When you get a best friend in grade school, it can be lovely. It can also be a survival tactic.
Right.
And so you're looking at
it. It can also change from week to week.
And it can change from week to week. Or it can, you know, go from first through sixth grade, but it doesn't mean they're going to be your best friend until you're 59. Here's the way it normally works with kids who are homeschooled well and who are given opportunities. You're trying to kind of jump ahead in age group, usually, here. You're parenting a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, and you're thinking you're parenting a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old. Realize that these kids are still very, very young. They need a lot of discipleship and formation from you. They need you to still be their primary relationship, to really be able to guide them. And if they have occasional play dates or activities that they're in that they can do with other kids, like you said, Little Flowers, ballet, whatever, that's fine. That's about all they need at this stage. I promise you, if you keep up those opportunities for your kids, by the time they hit 10, 11 years old, they'll probably find that one friend that they're really into. By the time they hit 14, 15 years old, if you keep up those after-school activities, your relationships are going to start forming around who your kids' friends' parents are, because they will find so many relationships because you will have given them a large breadth of information. They won't be pegged into one particular social group, so they'll be able to fit into like a dozen of them, and they will end up with good friends and good social dynamics, and they'll know how to pick and choose healthy friendships.
I think that one of the things that you might be buying into is this sort of idea that you know, a lot of people object to homeschooling because of socialization concerns. And, you know, people throw that word around, but don't really ever stop to think about what it means. You know, what does it mean to be well socialized? Well, I mean, it means basically having good manners, knowing how to take turns, knowing how to show concern for other people. And you don't really learn that by hanging out with other kids. You learn that by adults teaching you how to do it. So the best way to really socialize, basically, is to learn by hanging out with adults and then get to practice it by hanging out with other kids. And so you have a wonderful opportunity to socialize your kids very, very well by, you know, being in interaction with them all day long and then giving them the opportunity to practice it in those activities and other opportunities that you're giving them to hang out with other kids and be with their peers. And so it sounds to me like you're doing a great job, and I wouldn't be anxious about it. I think that, you know, there are many, many reasons to not homeschool, you know, not being able to be successful with it as far as the academics goes, not being able to have a good enough discipline system in place where the kids are just sort of running roughshod all over you and things aren't going well, not getting proper spousal support for homeschooling and your husband undermining it, you personally burning out because you're trying to do way, way, way too much.
Or really feeling like God's calling you to a different educational choice for your family.
Absolutely.
Because everybody's educational choice is a prudential thing that they take to God and say, where do you want these kids to learn, Lord? Show me where you want them to have an education. And that might be completely different for each kid. We are so blessed to have that right and that choice to be able to take it to God and let him decide.
Yeah, and so obviously you want to take this to prayer. And certainly there may be other reasons going on there. But just based on what you're describing, I wouldn't say there was any, that was any reason to really kind of change their entire world and their entire experience of education because, you know, you want them to have a best friend right now. That will come. Don't rush it and don't feel like you have to make that happen. You're forming your kids to be a best friend whenever that time is really important. Thanks for the call, Anna. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to give us a holler. And we do address these kinds of questions in Parenting with Grace, a Catholic parent guide to raising almost perfect kids. And if you'd like to pick up a copy of that, the second edition is just out now within the last month, and it has about 40% new information in it. Check it out at exceptionalmarriages.com. God bless, and thanks for the call. We're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. That's the toll-free number you can call to join the conversation here about all those things that are driving you just a little bit crazy. Maybe it's the, you know, the thoughts that you're thinking that are causing you to lack that confidence you need to succeed at what God has called you to do. Maybe there are some other situations that are weighing heavily on your heart, or relationships that are just causing your mind to spin, or certain situations that you just don't feel like you have the strength to handle anymore. Give us a call. We will help you get the techniques, the insights, the support you need to persevere in the power of faith. 877-573-7825. Our email address?
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
Stick around for more Heart, Mind, and Strength on You coming up right after this.
Are you worried about your investments and the moral practices of companies in which you've invested? I'm George Schwartz, the founder of Schwartz Investment Counsel, a registered investment advisor established in 1980. If you're a pro-life investor and are concerned about your investments, the Ave Maria division of Schwartz Investment Counsel may be able to help you. Our firm has experienced professional analysts and portfolio managers who thoroughly research companies from an investment point of view and from a moral perspective. We are nationally known as a leader in the growing field of morally responsible investing. To learn more, give us a call, toll-free, 866-AVE-MARIA, or visit schwartzinvest.com. In my new book, Good Returns, I explain morally responsible investing and our successful approach to finding profitable investments. My friend, Hall of Fame coach Lou Holtz, has written a terrific foreword for my book. I think you'll really enjoy reading it.
Call 1-866-AVE-MARIA to learn more. That's 1-866-283-6274 or visit schwartzinvest.com.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. Right to Life Lifespan invites all bowlers to Bowl for Life Friday, July 30th at Woodland Lanes in Livonia. Gather pledges and bring your bowling shoes as you support the unborn. For more information, call 734-422-6230. That's 734-422-6230. The whole family is invited to Catholic Family Day, Saturday, July 31st at the Bread of Life Retreat Center in Ann Arbor. Father Dennis Brown will discuss the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, and of course there will be Mass, Confession, Praise and Worship, and lots of room to play. For more information, call 734-332-9733. You can find many more events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio, it's yours to keep and to grow.
Yeah.
listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Our email address?
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
And when there's stuff that's just not going right in your life, your marriage, or your personal circumstances, and you need a place to turn to get that faithful, practical support, give us a call so that we can work together to help you get all the answers you need for the tough questions plaguing your life.
You know, our priest, our pastor yesterday at Mass was kind of reminding us all that we're at the halfway point. He said we're at the halfway point through the liturgical year, shockingly enough. And that took me up short, that we're halfway through the liturgical year and at least halfway through the summer. For many, I know that it's a lot less than halfway through the summer. If you say, have kids going to college for the first time, a lot of kids are heading out the door in the next 2-3 weeks if they have to report for, you know, freshman orientation and all of that. And we're halfway through an awful lot of stuff, according to our pastor. And it's time to take a look at, are we happy with that? How do we want the next half of the year to go? Are we feeling like we've got everything by the reins and everything's going in the right direction? Or are we feeling a little reflective? What should the rest of the year go as? What should the rest of the summer be? Are you having those moments of relaxation and joy with your family? Are you getting ramped up and feeling secure? You know, we just spoke with Anna in Massachusetts, not feeling so secure about what the next academic year is bringing into her kids' lives. Are you feeling good about that? Do you feel like they're in the right place? Do you feel like you've gotten what you needed out of the summer with them? And as you look toward the second half of the year, is there something specific you'd like out of it? A more peaceful marriage? More romantic marriage? Kids who fall into line better and you actually find joy in when they wake up in the morning instead of kind of getting that groaning, oh no, another day? A work situation that you'd like to see improve? Or just a better place inside yourself? As we move into that second half of the year, as Father was talking to us about yesterday, if you need help getting your head around any of that, we're here for you. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Or shoot us an email at radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
Greg, I have an email here from a gentleman in Detroit who would like to remain just a gentleman in Detroit, who says that he's having a hard time dealing with making a living right now. It's not that he doesn't have a job. He says that he does. He's just not feeling particularly motivated. He says, I have a family, and I want to make some positive changes in my career. However, when I consider that I need to provide for my family, I mean basics like food and housing, etc., I feel complacent. I need to feel driven to provide and ambitious enough to meet my family's basic needs. However, when I try and get in touch with that drive, I just feel blank. I feel nothing. And I know I'm letting my family and myself down. I need to get moving on life, and I just feel stuck. Any ideas how to get that energy I need? Thanks very much.
Well, I want to thank you for the email, and I want to throw out the possibility here that you want to try one of two things, okay? And the first thing might clarify whether you need the second thing. You know, it's possible that you're having a little bit of burnout, that you're experiencing, you know, perhaps some of the doldrums that can come periodically in our career as we feel like, you know, we've accomplished what we set out to accomplish and, you know, just not feeling it anymore. I would ask you to think a little bit about a day that you feel more connected to your work and more engaged in general in your life. Not a vacation day, of course, but a regular day where, you know, you just feel more on top of things than usual. And just, you know, to clarify further, it doesn't have to be a perfect day either, just a day that's better than others. And ask yourself, what's making this day different? You know, why do I feel better? Why do I feel more engaged? Why do I feel more productive on this particular day as opposed to all the others when I just can't get my, you know, juices flowing here? And ask yourself then, you know, once you've identified that list, how can I replicate this on a daily basis? You know, if you're not sure what to do, then start keeping a chart where every day you write down on a scale of 1 to 10 how engaged, how satisfied you are at work. And let's say that every day is coming up at a 2, but you got a couple of days that are a 3 or a 4, right? Well, you know, what's different on those days that are 3 or 4? Write them down specifically. What helps you be more engaged? Then try to plan more of your days around those activities that keep it at a 3 or a 4. Then every once in a while you'll find that you have a day that's a 5. Start keeping track of those days and ask yourself, okay, what do I need to add into these days so that I can have more 5 days as opposed to the 3 and 4 days, and build up from there. Chances are you're going to find that for whatever reason you've been phoning it in. You know, the less engaged we are in what we're doing, the less we're paying attention and being mindful and really intentional about our work, the more we just don't feel it. The more we feel passive, the more we feel uninspired by what we do, and the more we feel compelled to, you know, just give up. So check that out first. The second suggestion that I have for you, if you try that, say, for about a month, I'd like you to commit to every day for a month keeping track of what your mood is, and on those days that spike, on those days that peak, writing down the differences that make a difference. At the end of that month, if you find that you've not experienced any improvement at all, I'd like you to seek some counseling or an evaluation for a possible depression. Because that is a sign, you know, not enjoying things that you used to enjoy, feeling disconnected from your life, feeling irritable, you know, just not feeling any kind of passion or connection. All are indicative of a possible depression, but it's too soon to tell based on the information that you've got. So I would suggest that you try out that suggestion first and evaluate where things are in about, you know, anywhere from 3 weeks to a month. And if you need some more counseling support, either find a local resource through CatholicTherapists.com or give us a call at the Pastoral Solutions Institute, where we'd be happy to work with you in finding faithful answers to those emotional struggles holding you back. And you can learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice by visiting us online at ExceptionalMarriages.com. That's one word, plural, ExceptionalMarriages.com, or by calling our Pastoral Solutions Institute telephone counseling appointment line, which is 740-266-6461. That's the appointment line that answers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Feel free to call anytime, and either myself or one of my associates will be back to you. It's 740-266-6461. That's to make an appointment with one of our counselors. Well, we are taking your calls right here at 877-573-7825.
Right now we're taking a call from Terry in Michigan.
Hey there, Terry. Welcome to Heart, Mind, and Strength. How can we help you out today?
Thank you. Well, I was just listening to you, and I wanted to share a couple of suggestions, one of which works for me anytime I'm self-employed, and I lose motivation as far as being diligent and disciplined about work. So one of the things that I did for myself was put together a Excel spreadsheet with the days of the month that I'm coming into and the amount of money that I are due to pay. And then I total that up, and that's at the minimum amount of money I need to make each month to pay my bills. And that really motivates me when I take a look at that. That helps me out, have perspective on it. The second thing for me is that the way in listening to the letter, or a little bit, I caught part of the emails, I suffer from depression and take medication for that, and it helps a great deal. And it really sounded like a familiar spot where I'm into lethargy, and especially if I'm spending a lot of time watching TV or on the computer, it's me just not being in a good spot with myself or with God, especially in the area of self-esteem, or when I compare myself with other people. And my other suggestion is that this individual, I think you said it was a male, that if he's not in a men's group, that he get into a men's group. If not, that he find out and attend in a supportive way some kind of ministry for people that are unemployed or lost their house or things, and get a different perspective on life and living and you know, serve others because it'll open them up to reality and re-spark them. I got to say, I suspect that there is an issue there between the guy and God. It sounds like he's kind of wandered from, not that he's not faithful to go, being a faithful Catholic, but that his relationship with the Lord needs to be sort of deepened to be inspired in his job and in gratitude for himself.
Well, I can certainly second all of those suggestions, Terry, and I really appreciate you calling up to both share your experience and serve as an encouragement to our previous correspondent. I'm sure that he'll be blessed by those suggestions, and I thank you for taking the time out of your day to share your story with us and encourage so many listeners with your example. God bless you, Terry, and thanks for the call.
God bless you. Thank you.
877-573-7825. See that there are lots of folks out there who share your struggles, who've been there, and who have advice to add to whatever we share with you. It's one of the things I like most about doing this show, being able to draw from the wisdom and experience of our listeners to help support each other and to be part of that process where we build a great old community here on Catholic Radio. Pick up the phone and give us a call and join that community at 877-573-7825. If you are struggling in your marriage, your family, your personal, your work, your spiritual life, we are here to help you clear out the obstacles that stand between you and that joyful, grace-filled life that God created you to live. Let your life be that attractive faith that St. Francis de Sales talks about, that faith that draws the whole world to Christ because of your example. I mean, that seems like too big an order that you can't fill it because it's just too difficult to wake up in the morning and be optimistic about what's coming down the road. Then give us a call at 877-573-7825. We can give you whatever it is that you need to start turning things around, so that you can feel supported in your marriage. You can feel encouraged by the way your kids are turning out. You can feel revitalized, that's what I'm looking for, revitalized by the work that you do and inspired by your faith. Once again, 877-573-7825. Our email address is radio@exceptionalmarriages.com. Stick around for more Heart, Mind, and Strength in You coming up right after this.
Today's programming is brought to you in part by our day sponsor, the staff and families of Ave Maria Radio, celebrating with His Excellency Archbishop Alan Vigneron 35 years of priestly service. Happy anniversary, Your Excellency. May the Lord continue to bless the work of your hands.
You can be a day sponsor too. Call toll free 1-877-288-1077 and say, "I want to be a day sponsor."
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
It's Catholicism 101 on Christ is the Answer this week. As many in our listening audience are or are preparing to head back to school, we're revisiting a series of Catholicism 101 classes Father Ricardo taught over the summer of 2005. The subject this week is the Eucharist. Listen Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet. Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Ann Arbor Smiles is a state-of-the-art dental practice led by the talents of Drs. Dan Kennedy, Chris Marzoni, and Stephen Gray. One of their many satisfied patients is Debbie Herbeck, the wife of Fire on the Earth host Peter Herbeck.
For the past 25 years, our family has been going to Drs. Kennedy and Marzoni, and we've been receiving quality dental care. And one of the things we love about going there, besides all the friendly faces, is that the dentists really do know us, and they're really there to serve the needs of our family.
Go to AnnArborSmiles.com today.
Yeah.
Welcome back. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Is there a marriage situation that is causing your heart to break? Are your kids making your head spin, and you just don't know which end is up anymore? Perhaps you are dealing with some problems in your life or your emotional well-being that you just don't feel like you've got the strength to handle it anymore. Well, we are here to help reinvigorate your heart, your mind, and your strength so that you can love the Lord and serve your neighbor with your whole heart, mind, and strength and experience the joy, the abundance, and the grace that God has for all of His children. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's get those obstacles out of the way.
Right now we're taking a call from Cynthia in San Antonio, Texas.
Hi there, Cynthia. Welcome to Heart, Mind, and Strength. How can we help you out today?
Oh, shalom and Baruch Adonai Elohim. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God in all things.
Amen.
I have an interesting story, but I would just want to say that I wasn't taught my father's Catholic ways, and I was taught my mother's evangelical Pentecostal ways. I come from an Indian background on her side, and from my father's side, Catholic and Italian. And everyone always says about me, God, you're so hot. And now I embrace that hot because it's such passion, and I desire to be consumed by the Lord, and I've stayed ever faithful and been released of many things, and I'm being led, and I'm seen in my family, as I know many are seen in families and in deep relationships, especially those we love the most, especially of the children and husbands and spouses, that they don't understand this, and they want to immediately run us off to a hospital or give us a drug and declare that, you know, our God needs to close our mouth or that we need, you know, to have come
so
back
seen,
into reality.
You're sort of seen as having gone around the bend because of your religious involvements and your spirituality. Okay.
Now,
well,
I don't want to cause any more pain.
Has this ramped up recently so that you're really under this kind of scrutiny from your family?
I'm 35 years in relationship with my husband, and it has always been this way. It has had extremely high peaks for when I've gone into the valley with my repentance and love of God and been brought back to the mountain. The attacks, you know, continued, but I know now what they are and how they come, and I know how to rest in them, but others don't see it that way. So
can you give me an example of the kind of
the
complaints?
Strife.
Like, what are the kinds of complaints that your husband or other people are sort of...
That I'm a fanatic, that I'm 24-7, that I'm never shut it up. And from friends who I know love me say... and even profess that they know the Lord and love Him too, but that my message is too strong or that I'm preaching. I can't pray and do it. I can't go by myself and not get attacked. I can't shut up and not be attacked. No matter what I do, they find fault and reason to curse me or to rebuke me themselves or say that I'm just not in reality, when in fact I'm most in the reality, for I'm in this world but not of this world.
Not in reality in what way?
That I'm so consumed by God and my worship and the way I worship Him and love Him. I give of my own body as a living sacrifice, but of the things in nature, flowers, food, everything, as I'm led to fast for Him. And I do it with a joyful giving spirit, all that I have. And I go out and minister to people who are on the roads carrying cardboard into the woods. And I bring them home, and they rebuke me and say, that person might steal everything or call other people here now, or they're crazy, and they don't understand it.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Cynthia. Do you have kids?
Oh, yes.
How old are they?
My son will just turn 30, and my daughter, grieves me the most, is 24 in November.
Okay, so they're
25.
Grown. So it's not like when you're bringing people home, you're imposing any kind of threat to your kid.
Well, you know, I've had to bring her home to take care of her because she wants a divorce from a man that she didn't know.
Okay.
And had a baby with out of wedlock and married and honored, and he's the nugget. He's the golden nugget. In my life. But no, they are in the house, but they just moved out yesterday.
Okay.
Through
Here's
all of
the thing. When you are talking, you're actually reminding me, in a way, of many of the great saints who were misunderstood. But one of the things that comes to my mind is there were saints that were so fervent they weren't really heard by people, and there were saints that could keep their ecstasies with God and their service of people in kind of checks and balances. And one of the saints that come to mind for me is Saint Catherine of Siena. You know, it was said by Saint Francis de Sales of her.
Who knew her?
Knew her? They were friends. And certainly she was known for, you know, healing the church. And she had great ecstasies. And she had, you know, secretaries on either side of her translating for her because these ecstasies from God would come so quickly she couldn't just have one or just write them herself. However, where he saw her be the holiest and really be able to convert people the best, other than, you know, merging the papacy, is, he says, in the meanest tasks that she did during the day, the fact that she completely and utterly served her brothers and her parents and all of those people, making them dinner, cleaning the house, doing those tasks with love, in a reverent kind of peace, in making it about them and not about shoving God down anybody's throat, but in loving service to them, in concentrating on them. And yet she was able to go off and have these great ecstasies, but she found that balance, and it was in that balance that she really transformed the everyday people in her life while she was still doing great work in a larger context, and maybe working and praying about trying to get some of that balance so that you're able to feed the people in your life spiritually without overwhelming them so they can't take it in.
Well, and I would also say that sometimes when we're on fire for the Lord, that we become so consumed with our relationship with God that we make ourselves, unfortunately, unavailable to the people who are in our homes or our family life. And I would prayerfully ask you to consider, you know, are you making yourself as present to your husband and to your kids as you need to be? You know, are you able to worship the Lord in loving service to them and by loving them in ways that you didn't have the courage to love them before you had this experience of the Holy Spirit? Cynthia, thanks so much for the call. If there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to give us another holler. That's all the time we've got for today's program, but thanks so much for being with us. If there's more you'd like to hear about the Pastoral Solutions Institute, then come on over and visit us at exceptionalmarriages.com, where you can read excerpts from our books, take our quizzes, and find out more about the counseling practice. Lots of other good stuff to support you all there at exceptionalmarriages.com. We'll be here tomorrow. Until then, get out there and love the Lord
with all your heart, mind, and strength.
God bless you, everybody. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength with Greg and Lisa Popchick. Heart, Mind, and Strength is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. Heart, Mind, and Strength is produced by Ave Maria Radio and is supported by the generosity of listeners like you. Tune in every weekday at noon, 11 Central, for more faith-filled answers to life's difficult questions on Heart, Mind, and Strength.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Senator Lamar Alexander, the Tennessee Republican, who is the chairman of the Senate GOP conference, has announced his opposition to the nomination of pro-abortion Solicitor General Elena Kagan to the Supreme Court. His announcement means the entire Republican leadership in the Senate now opposes confirmation. New information shows rationing czar Donald Berwick, appointed to direct Medicaid and Medicare, has lifetime health care insurance from an institute paying him millions of dollars. Byron York of the Washington Examiner writes that millions of Americans worry about securing coverage and paying for it. Berwick, who advocates rationing for the masses, will never be one of them. The president tapped Berwick in a recess appointment, avoiding Senate review. National Right to Life is again asking the Senate to defeat the Disclose Act. The pro-life group says this campaign finance reform bill places such onerous limits on pro-life groups that they would have problems even reporting legislative actions, let alone getting their message out. This is Life News Radio. The life issue needs you. When you take the time to make a well-informed stand, you may be surprised how many details come to life and how you become willing to naturally